Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new Smart Firefighting miniseries created during the Phase 5 of the First Challenge, hosted at the Muscatatuck Urban Training Center. The First Challenge focus is to produce marketable prototypes that demonstrate indoor localization tracking of first responders within 1 meter accuracy without any pre-deployed infrastructure. Many of you heard stories from Phase 4, and here in Phase 5, the challenges were increased by including multiple responders, longer durations, and longer distances. In these conversations, you will hear from many of the entrepreneurs, first responders, and team members involved that address these challenges and opportunities of X, Y, and Z axis tracking from multiple perspectives around scalability, usability, affordability, and more. This challenge is administered by the Indiana University Crisis Technology Innovation Lab and funded by the NIST Public Safety Communication Research PSCR Division. Also, consider putting the NIST 5x5 conference on your calendar, located in Chicago, June 25th to 27th, 2024. Enjoy this deep dive into first responder tracking technology, and please reach out with your thoughts. Sitting in the podcast HQ at the First Challenge HQ in Muscatatuck, Indiana, alongside Tammy McLean. Tammy, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. How has your time and experience in Muscatatuck, Indiana been so far?
My goodness. First of all, I love Indiana. I've loved Indiana for many years for a lot of reasons. But Muscatatuck has been quite an eye-opener for me. I've been wanting to come here for a while. So in my past, I have run large-scale events with live scenarios with technology embedded in them, and I did it at another place similar to this. But every time I did it or I came in contact, especially with someone from special operations, they'd say, "Have you been to Muscatatuck?" And they'd say it like that. It was a whisper. And I'm like, "Huh?"
One more time?
Yeah. And they're like, and I find out it's Muscatatuck, which took me forever to learn how to say.
Yeah, well, Stefan calls it Muscatuck.
If he can even get that part out.
Yeah.
And so I met Dr. Sunny Kirkley several years ago, and we tried to get traction for putting live scenarios in the first challenge competition. Everything requires a little extra money, right? And unfortunately, we weren't able to come up with the right amount of funding for that. But he and I, you know, really formed a good relationship. And of course, through Captain Kirk McKenzie, he reconnected me with Dr. Sunny to come out here and look at the facility. But also right now, my company, I'm under the banner of, that I have recently created separately from my other company, Global Convergent Technologies. It's called TechX Events. So it's the events that I've done in the past with the live scenarios for public sector, and that's what that event name is for. So with that in mind, I have recently been hired by FDIC International to come and put live scenarios in their Lucas Oil Stadium during the event in 2024. They've never done live scenarios. They want to be a live scenario stadium-wide activity. And we're not sure how many we're going to do yet, but that's one thing. And then the possibility of coming out here with FDIC for a public safety event similar to what I've done in the past. So of course, FDIC International is focused on fire. This would be focused on all branches of the military and, you know, fire, law enforcement, etc. So to be able to have the opportunity to come out here on their behalf, assess the, you know, the property, see what we could do here, get a tour, which I'll be doing tomorrow. And then actually seeing, you know, these entrepreneurs and these startups actually with their technology, which is always, you know, great to see, and see how they really find how their technology really, really works when it's put to the test in a real environment in the hands of first responders, which is primarily what we do in our events.
Well, a lot to unpack there.
Yes, and, I'm sorry.
But, you know, to kind of like maybe take a step looking backwards, you know, you've mentioned these events. What have been these events? I unfortunately didn't go to the previous ones, but I know I heard a lot of people talking about them and they were, you know, at the, I believe at the Guardian Center in Georgia, like there was, you know, a bunch of moving pieces, but what were the events? What were some of the outcomes? You know, tell me about them.
Okay. So the events were called Operation Convergent Response. And we did those 3 years in a row, 2017, 18, and 19. And then because of various reasons, I'll also talk about what those were, but I'll tell you how we came to TechX, was various reasons, funding, politics, budget, you know, just managerial changes, administrative changes. They, Verizon was like, well, you know, and COVID, you know.
COVID?
Let's not do a lot.
2020?
Yeah. So we tried. But the great thing was in that interim time, I left the company and started what I called Global Convergent Technologies, which is a separate company. The intent there is to be able to bundle technologies for public safety and public sector. So, you know, there's like a baseline of technology that probably a firehouse should have, that, you know, law enforcement has. Some of these are the same across all platforms, but that's the intent. And I got that idea from what we created at the Operation Convergent Response event. So for those, what that was different. Throw your idea of a trade show out with the bathwater.
Baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, because this time we're not, I have a certification in trade show marketing. I have an MBA. And you can talk about making money all day long through events, because you're going to sell space. But what the trade show industry was telling us at that time, the trade show industry was dying. Now, that's not why I started Operation Convergent Response. I actually happened to see an interesting video that a guy had done at Camp Shelby, Mississippi. My father was in the Air Force, and then he was in the Reserves and the National Guard, and he ended up, he would be at Camp Shelby 2 weeks out of the year when I was living in Mississippi. That's where this was. I thought, Camp Shelby. And then I see all these different types of technology being used in a scenario, see fire trucks and all sorts of stuff. I want to know what this was. So as you may know, military, law enforcement, they do scenarios, right? They do actual maneuvers because they've got to learn how to do what they're going to do when they're faced with it in the reality, right? So we got to try to get some muscle memory in there so that when we are out there, you know, combating fires, or we're, you know, working on a, you know, terrible car accident, whatever the case may be, we have a little bit of understanding in addition to our training to actually do those things. So at Operation Convergent Response, we take those scenarios, we condense them down to about an hour and a half long. And before we even get to that point, we have decided, we've looked at trends, we've talked to former military leaders, law enforcement leaders, operators, et cetera, to find out, you know, what's going on in the world? What's important to us as citizens, to our first responders, to our state and local agencies? And what are the things that's the heartburn for them? And that's how we come up with a series of scenarios. We've done 16 or so. Active shooter, collapsed building, hurricane, nuclear. You know, you can name just about anything, and it's been touched on. So we create basically a little play, right? We take people through an action. Act one, act two, act three. Here's what you are going to see through this. And we put technology in that scenario. With our scenarios, we do try to attend to four pillars of a crisis. Now, these are our names. These are not what a crisis institution would come up with. This is just the way we did it to kind of make it simple. Ready, respond, recover, and rebuild. So most technology is going to fit somewhere in those four pillars. They may cross all of them. It just depends on what it is. Command center, for example. Now, maybe not rebuilding, but in any case, at Operation Convergent Response, we started with the scenarios, create the scenarios. Then we start looking for technology. What do you have, and what does it do, and how can it be used? And we actually have them test it for us because we want to make sure it works before we bring it to OCR, what became TechX. And then how do we connect the technology partners with the first responders when they're there? Because everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants to collaborate. In a trade show environment, what happens? You have these walls built up between everybody and you're competing. Everybody's competing on, you know, I've got the best whatever, and I've got a great tchotchke, or I've got some entertainment, come to my booth. But you may or may not make a sale. You may or may not make a connection. You're not pushing the boundaries of what's possible either. So I'm going to give you just a kind of like, here's what happens at OCR thing, just so you kind of have the premise of where it is. So at Guardian Centers, it's, I forget the number of acres, but it's hundreds and hundreds of acres. And it was built as a nuclear manufacturing plant. If Guardian Centers hears this, and I said that exactly wrong, I apologize. But their original buildings were created in the early 80s. They never built a real nuke, a live one, because the peace treaty was signed and everything closed down, right? So something like that, some astronomical amount was spent. And the building lay dormant for years. I think a couple of things went in there briefly. But when Hurricane Katrina happened, some gentlemen who I think were with Bell South were like, hey, you know, this is crazy. We have no comms. We have no way to communicate with one another, get all the resources together. How do we do this? And so through that really, really challenging environment, I'm from Southeast Louisiana, was affected by Hurricane Katrina. They created what we know of as the Guardian Centers today, which includes all of that original footprint of buildings, as well as a cityscape that they built. So it's about a 20 square block cityscape that they built with folks from Universal Studios and other, you know, imagination type entities to create something that you could use to actually run real scenarios in. So there's a ton of things there. Great team of people, a lot of resources to really do scenarios in a way that's very, very realistic in a pretend environment. So what we were able to do is go to Guardian Centers and create basically a two activation area event. We did multiple things, but this is going to kind of boil it down a little bit. So there was a space, it was about, I think the warehouse is 250,000 square feet or something like that, and it is where the nuclear would have been manufactured. That's the area we actually created I'm going to call it a trade show-esque environment, but it wasn't that. It was a space where we created vignettes that corresponded to the scenarios that we did. So if we had a wildfire, there was a wildfire area, and in that wildfire area is every technology that was going to be in the scenario, their representative was in there. Not in booths, but at tables like this, where you can talk and you can collaborate and you can, you know, really work with one another as colleagues and partners in an effort to build solutions for first responders, not to compete because I've already got the best thing out there. They want to make sure that what they have is good for that first responder, that that's what he or she needs, and it really solves a problem. So how we did this was the scenarios were so realistic that we had real first responders, decision makers go through them and be emotionally affected by them. Because for two reasons that I know of. One is, of course, you're human. You're going to be affected when you see somebody, you know, in a collapsed building and they need to get out, whether it's real or not. The second thing is, now they see technology that they'd never seen before actually get to those people faster, pull them, extract them faster, or give them visibility into that prior to the event. So they knew exactly where these people were, a lot like we're doing here at First Challenge today. Or the tech companies are, but they're doing it at a greater speed of technology than we had even then. So in order for an attendee to actually go through this, what we tried to do was make sure they understood that there was going to be technology and that we had relevant people, authentic people, and we had realistic scenarios that they were going to go through, because these are people who've been through it. And they can spot a fake in a moment. So we had, for example, in the wildfire, we'll just use that since we're in a fire kind of world right now, a fire chief, former fire chief, actually would lead our tours. We called journeys. So it was a Disney ride, basically, but a real Disney ride. And they would start at that vignette, the wildfire vignette, and he'd tell them, hey, this is what you're going to see in this scenario. This is what's going to happen. And all of these folks here have technology that's going to be used in that scenario. And some of them he would point out, and then he would get them loaded onto the buses. And at that time, the scenario started. We would give them personas so that they were already invested in being a part of this scenario. So in this case, they were fire inspectors. So the scenario actually starts as they're on the bus. It takes about 5 minutes to get down to the cityscape. They get down to the cityscape, scenario's already started, and they're already prepped and ready to see what's going on. I mean, you would not believe the amount of interest that people have, because we've already connected with them in multiple ways. We've connected with them authentically through their colleague that's leading it, through the emotion of any crisis, through the new things that they're going to learn to help them with their jobs when they go back to it, or their teams. And so they go through the scenario, and they're all different. There's always different things going on. We might drive them into, you know, somewhere, as we did in this one, into the wildfire area. But there's tons of types of technology going on. So there'd be like 30 to 50 in each scenario. Once they're done with the action of the scenario, then they get back on the bus, and the lead will then start debriefing them on the scenario and the technology. Why this made a difference. Before we did this, now you can see where this technology allows you to do that. And by the time they get back to that vignette, the amount of questions that are already teed up and ready to go, they've already zoned in on technology that they want to see and talk about, you know. So they're going to go to these various tech companies in a way you've never seen in a show before.
Somewhat similar, but different than what we're seeing here, this Phase 5 challenge. And I thank you for, you know, painting this nose. I mean, it's not a simple kind of a flyover by night thing. There's a lot of thought and detail that went into it. But I'm now that, you know, we kind of have that picture, and we, you know, other people are hearing about this first Phase 5, and you know, we're here in Muscatuck. Like, what's next for all things, you know, the TechX events? Like, is this something they're going to be, you mentioned some of the live events that are happening with the FDIC thing that you're in the works, but with the kind of the next 6, 12, 24 months, what's your vision for what it's going to be? And then also, how can maybe people look to get involved?
So my vision is similar. What's great about being able to do it from this vantage point is we're technology agnostic, meaning there's not like a purpose behind the technology that's selected. We select the technology because it is the actual needed technology. It's new technology, whatever it is. So the future for me is, number one, with FDIC International, helping them start getting these live scenarios incorporated into what they do. And then we're starting to talk about 2025 and beyond, doing a public sector-wide event very similar to what I now call TechX, but what was called Operation Convergent Response, and being able to do that in a way, and a more expanded way. So we were limited a bit with Verizon, limited on time. We were limited on contact availability, not because of Verizon. It was just because of the way that things were done. You have to follow the processes that, you know, you are constrained within. And sometimes that's budget. Sometimes that's time. Sometimes that is, you know, can you get on the schedule? You know, and when is that schedule best? Every area, every facility has its best time to be there, right? Because of here, it's going to be cold, so it means snow at some point. we're not going to do it then. Unless somebody wanted to really delve into the ability to do something in winter and snow, which is not a bad thing. I mean, there was a pile up several years ago, I think it was in Michigan, you know, where hundreds of cars are stuck in the snow. And some of our team members were stuck in that because they were going to some event. But in addition to what we've done there, what we have the opportunity to do now is be, in addition to what I mentioned, if I didn't just repeat that, but really create an environment for innovation and discussion for the future of public safety, not based on where technology is today, but what can we do today to build the technology, firehouse of the future, law enforcement services of the future, and who do we need to do that with? Who can we bring in to A, discuss that, B, who are those folks that we need to reach out to? It's our state legislators. It's our Congress members. These are people who can drive really large scale adoption methods for us. For example, Arizona had, I'm not sure of the year, but in the recent past, mandated that every, I think with fire department and law enforcement, have an incident command center, a technology-driven one. You would think that that would be, you know, something that would be on everybody's list. But when our folks, when our first responders are out there, they're just about that mission. They got to get that mission done. And they are restrained in terms of their budget, too. So how do we talk about all of that in addition to the scenarios and the technology? How do we drive real conversations around the need for what we do in the future? And so I'd like to do a lot more of that. I work with Captain Kirk McKenzie, Stefan Truthan, a lot on those discussions. Stefan is a very, he and Captain both have the future in mind. And that's important. Somebody's got to get us there. So we'll be having more discussions around there. And I'm not big on just talk, 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 but make the talk something that's meaningful and needed. And hey, can we make it fun?
Yeah, let's put it into action and get after it.
Exactly. So those are things that we may do a little differently. We now also have the ability to put more fun into the event.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys like beer. You know, have
beer, cheese, brats, right. You know, it's straight to my heart.
Yeah, a lot of fun ways that we can capitalize on this location and any real facility. But in this location, you know, I toured the hospital today. That'll creep you out.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't go downstairs because I was too afraid. I don't know if anyone listening has seen American Horror Story, but Asylum. And that's what this is. And
yes.
A lot of American Horror Story, and that's every time I'm taking a photo, I'm just waiting for a ghost to pop up or waiting for someone to just like, you know, swoop and grab me. And I'm like, I have a hard time walking by myself through some of these things, but I, you know, I'm like, okay, this is fine. At least it's daylight.
And I had heard from a former special operations team member that we've worked with in the past, and he's one who had said we needed to come here, but he said, they all know it's haunted.
Yeah, I know.
So when you think about that as kind of a fun thing, who wouldn't want to be here?
It is Halloween in a couple of days.
Right. But here's the thing, too. And I want to get to kind of what I really enjoy about this. Well, first of all, the continuum of people. Like, we've got here this week, we've got students that are doing the data services for this whole event.
From the Luddy School of Informatics at Indiana.
Yes. And they reached out to me today. They wanted my information because they were interested in what I'm doing. And I thought, oh my, they need to meet Stefan because he's an idea machine, right? But he's also been an innovator, an entrepreneur, and he is just a wealth of information. And of course, who can't be around Stefan and not get excited, right?
So that guy, he's wired differently, but wired for the best reasons. He was just on the podcast right before you.
Good, good. Yeah. I'm definitely going to listen to that. And so Stefan, I said, you need to meet Stefan because I would like for you, I found out from them that they both now, I mean, all of them, now that they have been in this environment, they've met first responders, they see the technology, you know, that's being created. They want to, that's what they want to do. This has touched their heart. And that's what I said about me. I do this because of the love of these people who do this. From the first responder to the technology companies, because you do it because you know there's a need there and it's helping. I mean, not everybody can be on the front lines, but we all have support operation roles that we can.
Well said.
We're
all a piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. So I got them connected with Stefan, and it was the neatest conversation. And we had that happen at Guardian Centers the last time. We just had some university students show up. And you've met Jed Muntasser, former Navy SEAL. So he and I were partners on doing OCR. I mean, he's really the brainchild behind all of our scenarios. And people love talking to him. I mean, he's just kind of like got this aura about him that makes him kind of a star with people. And so he goes around and, you know, just talks to people and learns a lot more than the average individual. And so we had students that he mentored and showed through this process. And same thing with Doug Lang at Guardian Center, is also a great mentor to younger folks. And being able to connect real folks who've been in the field, who've really seen some dire circumstances and say, hey, this is why I'm here, because I know this makes a difference.
Yeah.
And then be able to talk to those who are going to be innovating for us and for our first responders here in the near future gives me chills.
Well said. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And I think that's the beauty and the magic of bringing together different stakeholders and pulling people in the room and having a common purpose. And I know we need to go to dinner soon. So if I had to give you kind of a last sort of a soapbox or sort of opportunity to stand and sort of give us a mic drop here about like a challenge, a question, an insight that you could leave us here with today, what would be a sort of a parting thought here?
Well, can I say something that happened the other day?
Please.
So to get to the airport, and my son took me the other day, very good driver. They prefer to drive instead of their mother. We go on I-55 across the Atchafalaya, which is Louisiana, Southeast Louisiana. And then we hit I-10 to go to the airport, which is in Jefferson Parish, which is on the east side of that whole thing that people normally call New Orleans. So when we get outside this morning, it's 15, something like that. Foggy. It's never foggy until like December, but it's foggy. And I'm like, and we're going to be late. But he drove very carefully. We got there plenty of time, dropped me off. But, you know, he's very careful, does not, you know, tailgate or anything like that. He never does. And so he drops me off and it's about 10 till 8. I don't know when I saw this. I don't know if it was before I got on the plane or at my layover in Houston. But I looked down at my phone, and there had been, what I found out later, was a 150-car pileup, which has been on international news on both north and south of I-55. And my son had just passed over it 30 minutes before.
Wow.
Okay. And then you think about the response to that. You can look at Hurricane Katrina. But that particular thing, there's smoke, because right now, for whatever reason, we have wildfires and we have fires. This was, marsh was on fire in addition to the fog. We never have wildfire alerts. Never seen them until this year. A response has to come from all over, every parish. And not only is this just an interstate, it is a raised bridge interstate where two oil tankers have exploded, in addition to all the cars being just mangled. There's people, there's you know, cars, they've got,
jeez,
they're down there in the water, there's children. Yeah, there's, I mean, unbelievable, horrible circumstances. How would you like to be that to be one of your family members? And your fire department could get there faster or more efficiently through technology, drones with, you know, an incident command center. I mean, I'm not the technology person. I just get to see it all in action. But if there's a way to make that faster, easier, more efficient, safer.
To save lives and property.
Yes.
Would you do it?
Would you
support it?
Yeah. And here we do that at TechX.
That's right. Tammy, a wealth of knowledge, wealth of conversations. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm excited for the roadmap ahead and just look forward to further collaboration.
Thank you for having me. And so do I.
Thanks for everything. Take care. Thanks for listening to today's episode. What did you think? What did you learn? Hopefully something, right? Please reach out on social media with your thoughts on this episode and any other suggestions for future content. We look forward to capturing more important stories across public safety and are here at your service.